From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name is Amanda Dunn. I'm the politics and society editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, it's been revealed that Prime Minister Scott Morrison made a quick trip home to Sydney from Canberra for Father's Day. Now, obviously, a lot of people have been unable to see their families and friends for quite a long time, and there's been a lot of anger in response to this story coming out. It sort of undermines the "we're all in this together" message, doesn't it?
It does, and I think what's happened is that it's in tune with some things that the Prime Minister's done before that have been condemned as being tone deaf, of course, most notably the trip to Hawaii during the bushfires. Scott Morrison doesn't seem able to see these things beforehand, but he's sensitive afterwards. He's just been on Sky Television essentially defending the trip, saying that
I can understand people's frustration, but I do think that there has been a lot of misinformation about this. I mean, I live in Sydney. I often have to be here for work. There was no requirement to get an exemption to go to Sydney. Like all members of Parliament, Parliament session ended on Thursday. I had further meetings here with National Cabinet on Friday and I returned home. There was no exemption required for me to return home, as I do on any occasion that I do have that opportunity.
And that, of course, was in line with the law. He hasn't broken any rules. It's the perception that's the problem rather than the actual rule. He got the exemption from ACT Health. And the argument appears to be that he had to come back for confidential national security meetings and that the facilities were here. I must say that does seem to stretch things a bit. I think that there would be facilities in his Sydney office, perhaps even Kirribilli, for such a meeting. And it does seem rather unlikely that he really needed to come back to Canberra, especially as he apparently intends to return to Sydney in the next few days. Now, on the other side of the argument, he's been away from his family for a long time, and you could understand that he did desire to be there for Father's Day. But he did post on social media a picture of himself with the family, noting in the caption that this was taken some time ago. So this has been seized upon by critics as evidence of a cover-up of where he was. On the other hand, he told Sky that he did from Sydney a remote address to the Liberal Party in South Australia, their conference, and the background was obviously his Sydney one. So he's sensitive about this. I think that it was a misjudgment to get himself into this position, and it just builds on earlier instances.
Yes, okay. And Michelle, we continue to talk about eventually opening up from the lockdowns that a lot of us are in, especially on the eastern seaboard, and what Australia might look like once we reach those 70% and 80% targets that were outlined in the Doherty modelling and used in the national plan. But the modelling that was released yesterday in New South Wales shows that it's going to be very grim for the next few months, isn't it? Particularly in Sydney. The hospitals look like they're going to be overwhelmed.
I think the way forward in Sydney is looking particularly difficult for the next couple of months, especially October in the hospitals. Today, both the New South Wales Premier and the Prime Minister were sending the messages that they thought the system would be able to cope. This has been discussed at National Cabinet repeatedly, the health workforce, but the ICU nurses have said in a statement they're worried about things. They're concerned that there will be fewer nurses per patient than there should be, and I think that this is shaping up as a massive test of the health system, and one that despite the politicians saying that it'll all be all right, people won't be very confident going into this period.
Okay, and on another issue, Michelle, the Women's Safety Summit has been running this week and Scott Morrison addressed it on Monday.
I know everyone joining us for this summit wants the same thing. We will go much further, you know, when we can all appreciate that we are all, from whatever place we're coming from, to this summit, earnestly trying to achieve that same goal. This is what we share. This summit recognises that we have all come here together for the same purpose, a shared purpose with a shared determination. So many have come to this summit with the stories of their experience, whether that be the brutality and disrespect that they have suffered, or the selfless service they have been engaged in for so long to help and protect and restore those who have suffered, and their frustration and their disappointment that they have endured in offering that selfless service. We respect and acknowledge that perspective. It's so important. It helps us understand the way forward.
Women's safety has obviously been an issue that has been under intense scrutiny this year, highlighted by some particularly courageous women such as Brittany Higgins and Grace Tame speaking out. But it's also an issue on which the government has again been accused of a certain level of tone deafness as well. Do you think they actually get it now? How seriously are they taking the issue, and how can we know how seriously they're taking the issue? I mean, what have they done on it?
At one level, I think they're taking the issue seriously. A lot of money has been poured into this issue in recent years. But the problem is that it is so intractable, and it concerns so many facets of life and the nature of the community, of the society, that it is one that's extremely hard, really, to tackle effectively. And I don't think that the government has yet got a strategy in place that we can be confident will be successful over the longer term. One area in particular where there's been disappointment is the government's response to the Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins' report on respect at work. Although the Prime Minister described this as a game changer, the government has only legislated in recent days for some of Jenkins' recommendations. Others that are important have not been acted on, particularly her recommendation that there should be an onus on employers to provide a workplace that's safe from sexual harassment. So I think that even in terms of the government's own rhetoric and own standards, it's fallen short. Incidentally, I'll be interviewing Kate Jenkins tomorrow, so we'll get her take on the summit, on what the government's done and what it needs to do in the future.
Okay, great, Michelle. Terrific to talk with you as always. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.